Please pray with me. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those words of Paul are among the most familiar and favorite in all of Scripture. And why not? Essentially, the message is that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but in these days, looking across the landscape of our country and around the globe, that's great good news to my ears. And we often hear this scripture at funerals, which is also understandable. We want to be reassured that in our dying and at death, that God is with us. Part of what I'd like to reflect with you on this morning is that that message is not just great good news in our dying, but great good news and empowerment in our living. When Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he did so to a church he'd never visited. The people didn't know him, and he didn't know them. It's his longest letter. It's an introduction. He's introducing himself. He's lifting up for them some of the lessons learned over 20-plus years of ministry, where he's been planting churches and teaching and preaching and coaching and cajoling and guiding and directing. So he brings all of that to bear to this community that he hopes to visit. And essentially, he's saying to them, nothing can separate you. No power can separate us from Christ or to defeat God's purpose for us. You see, in the first century, people believed that the world was dominated by cosmic forces and powers. And Paul is saying, no. Nothing is greater than God's love, period. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that in your own lives? I think part of the message for us is not just believing it, but embodying it, because that's where transformation happens. When it becomes not just something we've studied and believe, but something that we embody and take action on. Robert Jewett puts it this way: Paul's conviction is that the grace of God holds persons in adversity firmly in the hollow of God's hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The gospel of Christ reveals that God's love stands behind us, even in the worst of circumstances. End quote. Sometimes we experience this embodiment of that reality on a very personal level, one-on-one, if you will. Speaking from my own experience, 20-plus years ago, I was receiving treatment for breast cancer. And it was my practice, when I was receiving radiation, to alternate my prayers between the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. And I think it was in the first week, I no longer remember, but as I was praying, miraculously, that peace of God that surpasses all understanding enveloped me. I was being held in the hollow of God's hands. I experienced for myself, as I was, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I was in that valley, and I knew without a doubt that God was with me. That peace that overcame me and that reality changed my life in that moment. I knew that no matter what happened to me, whether I lived or not, that God was with me and it would be okay. Further, I knew that God would be with my family and my friends who loved me, and they too would be okay. I moved from belief to embodiment, and I'm convinced that had that not happened, I wouldn't be a priest today. It changed everything for me. Sometimes we have the opportunity as a community of faith, a community, to embody that love that changes things for another group of people. David Bartlett states that this way, that the Christian life for Paul is not the life of conquest, but of loving compassion. Those who are more than conquerors are those who refuse to conquer. Those who refuse to seek victory are victorious. Those who do not glory in their own accomplishments can boast in the glory of the Lord, which will finally include the faithful too. Again, some 20 plus years ago, this cathedral community reached out in a way that embodied that love and compassion. We founded a program we're going to celebrate today, the Cathedral Scholars Program, a program whereby exceptional students are recruited and selected to participate throughout their high school years in essentially a college prep in a leadership training program. These students, many of whom are with us this morning, right in the front, give up their summer vacations to come and to learn and to study and to grow so they can realize their dreams as we help to mold the next generation of leaders. Shortly after this sermon, we're going to have the opportunity to commission this group of scholars as they leave in about a week to go on a mission trip in Puerto Rico. These leaders have a record over these 20 plus years of 100% matriculation rate of graduating from high school and being accepted into post-secondary schools. You guys are awesome, and we're so proud of you. So proud of you. Sometimes, as a community of faith, we embody this love and compassion one person at a time, someone in our community or within our context who needs to know about that love of Christ that surpasses all understanding. In his book, Face to Face, Meeting Christ in Friend and Stranger, Sam Wells tells the story of one such person from the very first church where he was appointed. There was a young boy, 11 years old, who started to come to that church at the recommendation of a middle school teacher. God bless the teachers. This young boy was troubled, to say the least. He didn't mix or fit in very well. He ate all the cookies after worship. He was difficult to get along with. He had a troubled home life. And nevertheless, he stuck with it, so did the community of faith. About 3 months in, the church was going to have their annual parish weekend away, and scholarship funds came together to ensure that this 11-year-old boy could go too. Well, his not getting along and mixing just got worse on that weekend. He was rude, he was bullying the younger kids, he was grabbing food, and it was enough of a problem that the leaders of the weekend had to have a powwow and decide what to do about this boy who was so disruptive. And the teacher explained that he was being solely raised by a young and temperamental father. His home life was chaos, in other words. And the teacher explained, he's just looking for some security, a place that's safe. And so patience prevailed, accommodations were made, and he started to get his footing. 9 months later, this young boy was baptized. His family didn't come, not his father, not his mother or brother who lived across town, but his church family did. 40 members strong were there. And after his baptism, they were asked to tell him something about that community of faith that meant the most to him, to them. And when his turn came, he said, "You didn't throw me out after that weekend." Baptism. Sam Wells, in that moment, realized, and I quote, that it said everything about baptism: new community, new story, new beginning, abiding, patient, enduring, long-suffering love, end quote. Fast forward 23 years. And Sam writes about receiving an email out of the blue, a long email. And it began with, "I'm that boy from the weekend." He knew immediately who it was from. And in the email, he read about what had happened to this 11-year-old boy in the ensuing years. His life had had its ups and downs. His father kicked him out of the house a few times. His father had died prematurely from alcoholism. He'd had some jobs that kind of went so-so sometimes. But he had forgiven where he needed to forgive and reconciled where he needed to reconcile. And now he was happy to report to Sam that he had a partner and he was helping to raise her two children. And furthermore, he had a job in the bank where he was helping people trying to get a loan and debt reduction, something that he knew only too well. And Sam realized that not too far in the future, he was going to be traveling and very near where this now young adult man lived. And so they made a date to get together. And when they got together, he had a backpack. And Sam asked him, "Why'd you bring a backpack?" And he said, "I have something I want to show you." And he carefully, lovingly took a scrapbook out of the backpack. And it was clear to Sam by the writing and the way it was put together that it was from his childhood. And Sam started to focus on a baby picture and the family tree, but the young man quickly moved to the middle of the book and he pointed. And to Sam's amazement, he saw a letter in his wife's own handwriting. And he looked at the letter, and then he remembered that years before, 23 years before, he and his wife had been out to dinner, and some of the Liverpool soccer team came in, and they knew that this young boy loved that Liverpool soccer team, so they got some autographs. And his wife had written him a letter saying, "We just thought you would enjoy having this." Sam was blown away. And he writes, "Out of the ruins and rubble of his neglected and deprived childhood, here he held this precious document like an epistle of hope from the caverns of exile." This young man, who had experienced firsthand the embodiment of that love that surpasses all understanding by that community of faith, touched and transformed him. Sam writes that he wished he had the wherewithal and the composure at the time to say the following: "I gave you some autographs, but you showed me forgiveness and resurrection. In short, the gospel. How can I ever thank you?" My brothers and sisters, Paul's message is clear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that makes all the difference. No power can separate us from Christ or defeat God's purpose for us. So on this day, I invite you once again to move from believing to embodying, and to go out from this place to a hurting and suffering world to touch and transform lives, just as you and I have been touched and transformed. Let it be so for you and for me. Amen.